Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Today is February the 15th, 2023. Today we got Mike Venanzi from Above the Dunes.
That's it, Above the Dunes.
Everything else is going to be cakewalk from here on out.
We can do it.
We got the name and we got the restaurant. So, but yeah, you are Mike Venanzi, and you do have the Dunes, the restaurant called Above the Dunes, which was formerly the Green Turtle on the boardwalk.
That's correct. That's correct. Whew. The only oceanfront one, so that's kind of nice. It's easy to remember.
Right. It's a great spot. I think we were talking a little bit prior to the podcast starting, I've eaten there. We used to eat there several times. We've kind of gone through this. I have kind of gone through this weird thing called this pandemic.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm still trying to figure out my way.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, but is that real?
Oh yeah, no, that's real.
Because
yeah.
I can tell you, we went to the beach. We went to the beach a few times during the pandemic and tried to support. But now that we're sort of back, I've just kind of been put into this place. So I'm trying. Like this morning, I got up, went for a run down at the trail. That's something I used to love doing, sort of got away from it. I'm trying to claw my way back to some normalcy of a life that I used to have. And one of the things that I used to love doing was going to the boardwalk. And so it's great that you're starting this new thing, and we all love the boardwalk. So maybe just share your adventure. You were the guy, I guess, that had the Green Turtle as well.
Yeah, so my partners and I had the Green Turtle.
Right.
That opened up.
Bob Frankis.
Yep.
Yeah, we want to introduce Bob, but he's not
absolutely
here.
Absolutely. He is not here. He's here in spirit. Yeah, Bob's taking care of a lot of things back in Baltimore. He does a lot of things
we love
there.
You, Bob.
So we do. We love Bob.
We love Bob.
We opened up the original Green Turtle there in about 13 summers ago. And it was a great location, a great store for what it was.
Right?
It was a sports bar. When I opened my first Green Turtle about 16 years ago, you know, you couldn't get a flat screen TV at your home for under $10,000.
No.
Right? No one had HD in their house. They didn't have the sports packages.
Right.
Well, as time has gone, you can now get a 50-inch flat screen TV at Walmart for $249, I think. And the NFL package costs you $29 a month. It cost me about $16,000.
Yeah.
So the economy and the way things work changed a lot.
Yeah.
Not to mention people, could watch on their phone just as easy as they could watch at the sports bar.
Right.
So, that market kind of changed a lot for us. We thought it was a good time to make an adjustment to our business plans. And so, Bob and I created about 2 years ago, this concept called Above the Dunes. And, we were just waiting for the right time to launch it. And so last December, we closed the Green Turtle there, went through a major renovation and, opened back up in April, of last year.
Well, one of the nice things about being a restaurant that's down on the boardwalk is that, you know, people can come in, enjoy a few beers, right, and then go walk around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't have to jump in your car.
No.
Yeah.
And most people don't.
Right. Most people don't. I mean, Tijuana Taxi. I don't know if you remember the Tijuana Taxi.
I do.
It was a great little spot, right? Had the best food, right?
Yep.
They also had these amazing golden margaritas.
Absolutely.
So you had a couple of those golden margaritas, and the tacos were like from heaven. So but the nice thing about that was you could, have a great day, right?
Absolutely.
And then kind of head out into the streets and sober up a bit and then finally find your way. Hopefully you were living or staying in the town and didn't have to drive at all.
And actually with us, as being right on the boardwalk, everyone comes down to the beach in the summer, of course.
Yeah.
Well, with the way parking works in Rehoboth Beach,
once
you get a parking spot and you make your full payment, you tend to stay. So we actually like it when people get down there early, they set up for the beach, and it rains at about 10:30. Because then they're stuck there. They're not going to get in their car and leave because they've already paid $77 to park. And so they stay neat at the restaurants. And that's great for us. That's great for businesses on the boardwalk. And hopefully it only rains for about 30 minutes. So brings them all in. They all eat. And then it goes back to sunshine. And
are you guys open year-round?
We are. We're open year-round. Yep.
So how do you handle that? Because that is a, you know, in the summer, who cares about the locals, right? No offense to locals, me being one of them, but who cares? This, and honestly, who cares about Rehoboth, right? Because there's, you either, like you said, you commit for the day, you get in town, and then you stay there.
Right.
But, you know, I'm probably, you know, if it's a middle of the summer day, I'm probably not going to go down into Rehoboth. But we have the off season, right?
Correct.
We have the spring and the fall. We got the hump months there, yep, at the ends and the beginning. So how do you handle that? Because it is, I remember Matt, he didn't really care. He's like, this restaurant will be sold out every day for the summer. It's trying to figure out how to bring in the locals, right? Even if you want to, I mean, sure you do. You got to stay open. So how do you handle that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And over the years, it's really changed.
Rehoboth
Main Street, the Chamber, the town has done an amazing job of expanding those shoulder seasons.
Yeah.
And with some events they do, gumbo crawls, chocolate festivals, everything, right? Sea Witch Festival. But it's really about giving someone a reason to come, right? So we open every day at lunch, right? Okay. 11 o'clock. And we adjust our hours a little bit in the off season. But it's quality food. It's an amazing setting, right? Like I said before, we're the only place you can sit and truly stare at the ocean the entire time while you're eating. It's about making it a great experience for the guest. We stay open, quite honestly, in January, February, to keep good people. We've got an
employees.
Amazing...
Employees?
Yeah. We got an amazing staff, and they're incredibly talented. And in this day and age, when you have a talented staff, you want to do everything you can to keep them. So we really stay open January, February for them. Not many people make money in January and February down a beach.
No.
So.
Well, I mean, but, you know, I think ideally you make barrels full during the summer.
You
and
hope.
And that smooths it out for the January and February. But, yeah, it's, well, and it's a good point. I mean, that is the challenge right now, is finding good people. Right?
Yeah.
And keeping them.
Exactly.
So when, how long were you the Green Turtle?
I think we were about 14 summers as the Green Turtle.
14
so,
summers.
Yeah, a very successful business up there. As you had said, when you sit on the ocean and it's summertime, we could probably sell hot dogs up there in the summer and make a living.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't believe in that. We believe in serving high-quality food.
Sure.
Great environment, fun atmosphere.
No offense to the hot dog.
So, no, exactly. Yeah.
There's some tasty hot dogs.
Absolutely. There's people making money on hot dogs.
We go all the way to New York to have a hot dog. Right. I forget the name of the place, but man, amazing hot dogs. So.
But the crazy thing about Rehoboth is, there's probably more restaurants in Rehoboth than there are businesses as a whole.
Right.
It is truly a foodie town. And, I mean, there are so many great independent restaurants there that, you know, if you haven't had a chance to be down in Rehoboth and try 10, 12, 15 of them, you're really missing out.
Well, the cool thing about Rehoboth was it was tons of restaurants, but, like, small family-owned restaurants. Like, not, I mean, you have your franchise places out on the highway and stuff, but... And we're seeing more of it, or some of the people that have been successful early are growing to a point where they're a little bit bigger than what we're used to. But they're still, that's just because they're done a lot of great work, right?
Absolutely. So,
but, you know, you could go into Rehoboth in 2019 and have 45 restaurants. You can go into Rehoboth in 2020 and have 45 different restaurants.
You're right.
Right?
So, you're right.
There's some real staple, like we just had our anniversary, always have our anniversary at Confucius.
Uh-huh.
Love Confucius.
Been there a long time. It's great.
And they're family owned, and they're family run, and their kids have worked there, and their kids go to the same school as my kids, or did go. And so always just loved that restaurant.
Yeah.
But they've seemed to have been able to stay for a long time, but a lot of other restaurants come and go, new adventures, one and done. So it's interesting.
It's a tough marketplace because there are so many great restaurants down there. I mean, you think about Susan at Culture Pearl. She's been in, I think, two different locations.
To both.
She's been, yeah, and it's done an amazing job. It's a great, great restaurant.
They used to have this great little river.
That
was my first time ever. I went on a date, and the girl I was dating, she said, "You've never had sushi?" And I go, "Never." She goes, "Oh, well, we got to go to Culture Pearl." And I go, "All right." And so there's a river and fish. And I was like, "This place is awesome."
Yeah.
And so
She's done a great job. She's evolved as the town's evolved. Chris and Anthony, who have Zog's and Tiki Jack's now. And, they've built and built and built restaurants. Chris came down there and opened up Theo's and Ava's, Theo's and Ava's and Hammy's. And so there's a lot of really talented restaurateurs that are opening up small boutique-ish restaurants. we're a independent restaurant. It's just Bob and I. It's the only one we have down here. We are truly locals. I live here in Rehoboth, and you know, all of our workforce is local. So it's nice to get out of the franchise world and back into the independent world of restaurants.
So was that why you decided to leave under the umbrella of the Green Turtle and kind of venture out on your own?
Well, yeah, that was a big part of it. But it just the location really seemed to fit better a seafood forward restaurant.
Yeah.
And a more open, colorful restaurant.
Yeah.
And so that was a big part of the change. And plus, you know, Bob and I really had a passion toward this level of service and this level of food that we really didn't have at the Green Turtle. So, you know, it just fits the two of us much better.
Well, and, you know, back to, because I moved here in 94. I mean, the world, this place is such a different area in town since 94. I mean, you know, the Green Turtle on the beach mm-hmm. probably did great during the summer. It would have probably continued to do great.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, fish, Matt used to say fish and chips and crab cakes, and you should be fine. Right.
Right.
But back then, we didn't really have a seasonal restaurant business time. I mean, there was a couple places that might stay open year mm-hmm. round, but for the most part, you know, come into the summer, it was over.
Bowling alley down the middle of Rehoboth Avenue.
You know, there used to be a bowling alley.
Yes, there was.
yeah, on the avenue, there was a bowling. Found out a lot about that back in the day. But, yeah, so then we went to this time where everyone started wanting to live here year-round, and then started being businesses year-round. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, it would make sense that.
Yeah. So it's been a great transition. Great transition. We're transitioning our menu this season. We're going to have a different menu this season. Some of our same favorites will be on there, but we're going to add some great local favorites that we tested in the off season. That's the other great thing about the off season is you can test things that you didn't have on your summer menu to see if it's worth bringing out on the summer menu.
We're always testable.
Exactly.
Here at the podcast, we test for people. So much food comes through this door. I just had a guy that he's got a food truck, and he brought, I mean, there's so much food. I'm like, I can't have a bite of that and a bite of that, and that's about all I can have.
Yeah, we did a bunch of creative stuff in December, my team, which is amazing. Bob and I wouldn't be anything without the individuals we have working for us.
Sure.
And our back-of-house crew is just so talented in developing entrees, developing things that are incredible for the palate. And we gave them a challenge to begin in December and said, hey, listen, we're going to launch a new dinner menu, and I want you guys to come up with some ideas. And by the 1st of January, we probably had 40 options of what we wanted to look at.
Wow.
And so January, I gained about 25 pounds eating from all their stuff.
Testing,
of course. And, you know, it's just amazing what we've done. And the nice thing is you can, you know, a lot of people have to pay consultants. A lot of people have to go out and find recipes from other people or other places and try to make them their own. The great thing about the crew we have is it's truly our own. I mean, they're coming up with the things. It's not Bob and I deciding on what we're putting on the menu. It's the whole team. So they all have ownership in it. They all have a stake in the game. And it really creates a passion back there that I think shows in the front of the house with the food we're presenting.
Well, speaking of the game, did you watch the game?
I did.
Did you go?
I did not go. I did watch it, though, at a friend's house.
Are you a Eagles fan?
You know, in the restaurant business, especially in the sports bar world, I became a neutral fan.
Well, I'm a neutral fan. I love football.
Yes.
So, and I like, you know, I don't want to have a black eye, right? So I just love football. And so you're pretty neutral.
I am.
Did you guys do something at the restaurant for Super Bowl this year?
So we only have two TVs at the restaurant. So it's funny because we went from a sports bar of 50-plus TVs to two TVs at the bar.
Right.
So we did not. We did not. We aren't a big destination for the Super Bowl.
Well, so, it was a great game.
It was, you know what? It was much better than the playoff games. I felt like we kind of got ripped off on the playoffs.
Oh, me too.
Super Bowl was a nice event.
Yeah, I was. I felt like the decisions were made based on the playoffs, and I'm not sure that was fair to make those decisions. But
I would agree.
One of the cool things about Rehoboth, and you mentioned, you know, all the town. I forget all the people that Main Street, mm-hmm. different groups, but. You know, there's someone always down there doing something cool, right? And they try to incorporate everybody into the idea, whether it's the, remember, like for the Halloween, or mm-hmm. they do the chocolate thing, or it's always something kind of cool that brings people, the tree lighting, the
absolutely.
Witch.
Sea witch.
Sea witch is always a cool, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe there's too many people for that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
Yeah.
We got the polar bear plunge, which we just had. Did you? Were you open for that?
Absolutely, huge event for us.
Did you guys have a good turnout?
We had a great turnout. So as I've said before, we sit right on the ocean, so people literally would come up, maybe partake in a drink or two, and then run into the freezing cold ocean, and then
two drinks before into the drink,
and then come back for maybe another drink.
Hot toddy,
A little hot toddy. Yeah, we did screwball in hot chocolate.
Oh,
I don't know if you've ever had screwball, but it's a peanut butter whiskey, and it's amazing in hot chocolate.
I didn't, but I would have. I would have definitely tried that. That sounds very good.
Yeah. So,
do you guys do reservations? Is that
we do.
Sticky question.
Well, no, you know, it's so. Restaurants is a double-edged sword, especially in the summertime. In the off-season, it's amazing because it works great for the locals. They make a reservation to a restaurant, and they tend to come. During the summer, because restaurants are pretty challenging to get into, some people, unfortunately, make three and four restaurants a night.
Yep.
Three and four reservations a night. And,
don't do that.
And tend to only show up at one.
If you're out there, if you're that person that does it, don't do that.
No.
You're not helping anybody.
It's not. So we do take reservations. This summer, we're changing it up a little bit. We're going to take reservations just after 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So just for dinner. Lunch will be wide open to just kind of first come, first serve.
Well, I had a buddy that went to a restaurant in Bethany. You know, I won't mention the restaurant, but he's like, it was full. And we couldn't even get a seat. And I go, well, maybe they take reservations. He goes, oh, they do. And I go, well, there you go. I mean, that's the whole point, right? Because you bring up a good point. And, you know, Matt used to always say this. We don't take reservations because this restaurant will be full every night for the summer. It doesn't matter. There are people out there that, you know, they come into town, make 4 reservations, then make, you know, their arrangements with their friends, pick one, don't call the rest. I don't know. Maybe they do call, but it is.
Not always.
It's tough. So. But you do take reservations after 4 in the summer this year, new
That's
thing,
correct.
And then you do take them in the off season.
That's correct. Yeah. We also, as summer ends, we do a lot of weddings and rehearsal dinners. It's been amazing. I've probably had 50 requests for proposals for this year and into next year for rehearsal dinners and weddings. So it's become a big thing for us. And that really helps us when you're talking about the shoulder season. That really helps us for that November, late September, November through March is the events, the Christmas parties, the weddings, the rehearsal dinners. I'm amazed how many people get married in Rehoboth.
I'm amazed how many people get married.
Yeah, well, that's a
if they only knew. No offense to people getting married. Well, you know, another thing that's funny is that, you know, there was a time there wasn't dunes. You know, you would have been above the boardwalk with the 4-foot drop-off.
That's correct. That's correct. The cliff.
The cliff.
Yeah, we've been above the cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not many dunes right now, though. I'll tell you that. I don't know if you've been down there lately.
I haven't been down there.
The north side of the boardwalk is really, really a lot of dunes missing. They're supposed to be doing some beach replenishment. I did see a boat out there yesterday doing some sonar back and forth. It's kind of odd because they literally they drive out about 100 yards and then drive back in and then move about 10 foot away and then drive out 100 yards and move back in, and they do that the entire way down the beach. It's got to be boring as can be, but someone's got to do it.
Probably just mapping it out.
Yeah, yeah. And
figuring out where they want to dredge that sand.
I'm assuming the beach replenishment's right around the corner, so.
When I first moved, I moved here in 94, it was a different beach. When did you move here? How long have you been here?
I just moved here 6 years ago.
Okay, so I'll tell you a little story, Bob. I mean, Mike. Back in the day when I moved here, it was such a different beach. It was, you know, very flat. It was a lot like Ocean City. Mm-hmm. There was like this 4-foot, 5-foot drop-off. You know, you could hang out under the boardwalks. And all sorts of, but the sand was super soft. It was like silky sand. It was like New Jersey. And then I think it was probably, I'd been here a couple of years, and we had this huge, devastating storm. Mm-hmm. And after that storm, they did all the dunes, and they brought in all the sand, and which is, you know, obviously very smart because it does protect the town. You lost your mic. That's all right. But it was, you know, it's been interesting to see the changes and to sort of see them do their job, right?
Absolutely.
Because we were out there this last one. Maybe 2 storms ago when we had, I think it was right before summer started, and my wife and I and daughter were out walking on the beach, and I swear I stepped in this sinkhole of sand. Took me right, if I didn't have 2 legs, I'd be in the sand under, you know, like quicksand.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Mother's Day, we had that nor'easter come up, and that I hadn't seen waves that big and that crashing for many, many years. And that was a devastating storm. And then right after that, we had the hurricane come up, you know, a few months later. Hmm. And that did it as well. So the beach was a challenge this year. It unfortunately was one of those situations where at high tide, the water came up, and then you created these ponds.
Yep.
So you had these ponds.
Yep.
Then you had a little bit of, you had beach, pond, beach, yep. and then ocean.
Yep. Saw it. That's what we were down looking at. I'm like, look at that. It's a pond. Oh, I'm sinking.
So great for the 2 and 3 year olds. Not great for the people laying out and, mm-hmm. and wanting to catch the sun. And so, and obviously the beach is one of our greatest assets, in Rehoboth. It's named Rehoboth Beach after all, but,
right.
One of the greatest assets. So it's real important that we get that back, but it's tough to fight Mother Nature. I mean, you can't,
Well, I've always like, I don't think, you know, I'm like, I don't know if there's any climate change. Our beach seems the same that it always has, but you think about it, the beach is getting steeper, right? Mm-hmm. And, but we'll figure it out. Doesn't mean people shouldn't come here. I don't even know how I even say that. People still come here. This is like, I was reading an article this morning about Rehoboth, the summer capital of the world. And I go, I've heard that, but is that official?
I mean, I think as long as you say it, it's official.
It's official.
It's like marketing, right? I mean,
I had a lady on that says, if you put the little C by whatever it is and no one else has done it, you can grab something and without going through the paperwork.
Yes. Like,
so I guess it's the same thing. If you say it enough, we believe it.
That's correct.
So this will be your first. Is this going to be your first summer?
Second summer above the dunes. Yep.
Are you looking forward to it? Excited? Nervous?
No. We're really excited. We're excited about launching the new menu design. So we're going to have a lunch menu and a dinner menu.
Okay.
So lunch is real important for us. Obviously, sitting right there on the boardwalk, sitting on the beach, people do like to still come up and grab a reasonably priced.
Is there outdoor dining?
There is. I have 50 seats that sit on a patio.
Okay, 50
outside.
Seats. Okay.
Yep. And people like to come up and grab a burger, grab wings, you know, grab a seafood gumbo, grab something for lunch. So most restaurants in Rehoboth are dinner only or lunch only, right? It's really hard to spread across both aspects. And so this year we're going to create a lunch menu. It's going to run from 11 to 4. And then we're going to create a dinner menu. It's going to run from 4 to close. And it's going to give us the option of more of a fast-paced lunch, more of a burger, fries, you know, wings, fish sandwich, stuff like that, fish and chips, crab cake. But then dinner, we're going to shift to some other options like our seafood gumbo, stuffed flounder, stuffed lobster. We're going to do a braised short rib with polenta. So a lot of different kind of more classic entree-driven
braised short meals. Ribs seems to be sort of a hot item right now.
It's a great product.
It's a great product.
We're the one that we're making. We slow roasted at the restaurant. Our motto is: we'll give you a fork, but you only need a spoon. It literally just falls off.
I'm starving.
And the polenta that my chef makes is just incredible. Make it from scratch, and it's amazing. I didn't even know what polenta was. But I found out a lot about polenta.
It's delicious.
It's amazing. I kind of have a very small palate. I'm not really an adventurous guy when it comes to food.
Sure.
Which is why I have an amazing crew that does that.
Yeah.
But a polenta is incredible.
Well, and you know, I don't know. I'm 54.
I'm 53.
I mean, at some point, we have to start opening up our ideas and trying different new types of food. Polenta is an amazing. It's the same with grits. You know, when Matt was around, I don't know if you ever met Matt, but I remember he did chicken and waffles and shrimp and grits. And I'm like, shrimp and grits, that does not seem.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal, chicken and waffles. I'm like, why would anybody want to eat that? Sure enough, they love it. So
my partner loves shrimp and grits, and we sell shrimp and grits at the restaurant, and it does very well. I'm with you. It's kind of an odd combination in my mind, but.
But
it's really well. It's excellent.
Well, you know, I always picture things like mashed potatoes, right? A mashed potato, but sort of the same thing. Gets a little bit more texture, a little bit more bite, which I do sort of appreciate.
Sure.
But yeah, it's at my age, I'm trying everything.
Right.
There's nothing that I won't try. I don't, unless it swims. If it swims, I question certain things. I do. I don't mind fish. I like fish and stuff, but I don't like sea urchin.
No.
Still can't do that. Yellow stuff.
No.
And there's certain, I'm not a big fan of eel.
Yeah.
But I will try mostly everything.
We do an amazing ahi tuna. We do an ahi tuna BLT. We're going to do an ahi tuna nacho this year. We're doing a tuna tartar. So we do a lot of ahi tuna, a lot of sushi grade ahi tuna. We do a ton of salmon, salmon BLT, honey glazed salmon. We do a lot of salmon.
I had a guy that was in just recently, he deep fries salmon.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm like, is that? He goes, that's salmon. I go, that looks like catfish. He goes, no, that's salmon. I go, oh, my God, I've never heard of deep fried salmon. He goes, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So, flounder, one of our biggest selling, probably our number one selling item in the off season was a stuffed flounder. Wow. One of my stuffed chefs came out with, and it's incredible.
Stuffed with crab?
Stuffed with crab.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always a hot number.
Very good, very good. We're launching a new, couple new flatbreads. So we're going to do a lobster flatbread, which is incredible. And then we have a crab dip flatbread, which, I mean, it's hard to go bad with crab dip and pizza.
I'm starving. This sounds very good. So you mentioned, like, Zogs. I mean, so, like, even where I'm at, you know, with the salon, you know, you start to make friends with the people. Mm-hmm. Hey, good morning, man. You know, hey, you know.
Absolutely.
Start to build relationships. How's that been for you? Because, you know, we talked a lot early on in this podcast about cooperation over competition. You know, when I opened the salon and then I would hear of another salon opening, I'd be like, oh, that's it. We're done, right? We'll never make it. But then I found out, you know, hey, let's help one another. Let's cooperate. How can I help you? You help me. It makes for a better life, right? And so in that sort of small community, because you're literally on the boardwalk.
Yes.
I don't know. Are you shouldered by the Avenue in Wilmington?
So I'm on Wilmington Avenue.
Oh, you're on Wilmington.
We're on Wilmington Avenue in the boardwalk. So below us is Thrasher's,
okay.
Core Brothers, and then the arcade.
Right.
In our building. And then we're the second story.
So do you build a relationship with those people, even though they're not all restaurants? Got any quarters?
Absolutely.
Got
no,
change
no.
down
yeah.
here today?
Yeah. So change is a big thing. We flop money back and forth all the time.
Okay.
Ones, tens, twenties. You know, it's kind of funny that I'm in need of a lot of ones, and the arcade brings in a lot of ones.
Yes, they do.
Core Brothers brings in a lot of ones. And so, you know, we can switch out twenties and hundreds for ones pretty easy. But just the whole idea that, you know, we're all in it together.
Right? Absolutely.
We're all trying to get through summer. We're all trying to be as profitable as we can be and also try to provide the best service we can be.
Sometimes it's just trying to get through the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, a lot of conversations in the back of the building.
And listen, I think that's an important message. People, you know, we get big. Our scope gets wide. We project. We reflect. And it gets scary.
Yes.
You know, even in this business, if I get too wide, if my view gets too broad, I start to get a little freaked out and panic. I'm like, am I going to do this for the rest of my life? I'm like, God, can I? I just keep it down into the day. And it's nice when you got sort of a group that aren't associated with you, but through location, you do have, you know, a friendship. Sometimes it's, you know, I'll do the same. I'll talk to a lady over at the Nook. I'm like, how are we doing? We're doing all right? I'm doing all right? Okay, we'll do another day, right? So it's nice to have that camaraderie with those folks.
The one thing we stress a lot, so we have almost 300 seats. We feed about 1,500 people every day in the summer.
Wow.
And one thing I stress is I have human beings that work for me.
Yep.
We're people, right? We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail sometimes. Thank God we don't fail that often. But occasionally we do. So it's nice to be able to talk to other people about how they handle things.
Yeah.
How are you handling your employees, right? We share a lot of employees, right? So a lot of our, especially the J-1 programs that we use a ton of, are our college kids that are looking to work every day in the summer because they need to make some money. You know, we'll work out schedules where maybe they'll work at Dean, with Dean at Thrasher's for the morning, and then they'll come up and work with me in the evening. And so we share resources that way a good bit, which has been very helpful. And we do that with the other restaurants as well. So, I mean, in the business in Rehoboth, we all have to succeed, right?
Yep.
If we don't all do well, the town won't do well. And so, you know, we do have a really nice, tight-knit group of restaurateurs and other business owners down there that they really work together with each other.
Well, there's a core group that kind of keep everybody kind of in, not in check, but just kind of locked in, right? You know, you got Louie's, you did have Nicola's, we did have...
Gus and Gus.
We've got some of these restaurants that will be there forever, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of keep everybody sort of locked in.
Yep.
You know, it's funny, my son works at Casey's, which I guess is around the corner from you, and, you know, he works at Casey's, right? But he goes and eats at Louie's, gets pizza at Louie's.
Sure.
And then they're swapping food with...
cilantro, was it, or
no, the place they threw out of the Sandcastle Hotel. Was this Maui?
No, it's now up the street.
What was it called?
I'm drawing a blank, gosh lord.
But he'd go over there, trade fish tacos for Casey's.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this whole little thing goes on, and then one day he's like, yeah, I'm working at Five Guys. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I got tired of Casey's, so now I'm working at Five Guys. I go, okay. And he goes, I'm working at Louis. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? I go, you know, you're a kid, so it's fine, but, you know, we don't do, now he's back at Casey's. Yeah. So you're right. There is like this community inside of the community inside of the community.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That,
so Conk Island, we were trying to think
about. Conk Island, thank you.
Neither of us could come up with that. Yeah, Conk Island. That's the one thing about Rehoboth is if you're looking for a job, you can find a job. There are plenty of people hiring every day. So it doesn't surprise me that someone could jump around from business to business to business and just go with where their passion is or where they're feeling it that day.
Well, you might have been 15, too.
Yeah, that's...
Well, it was, and I just to make this story seem, you know, to go with the what we're talking about, but it didn't happen as quite that fast. He was, you know, this was sort of this pandemic time, too. We were coming out of it. I mean, you know, before the pandemic, you made $5 or $6, $7 an hour. After the pandemic, you make $16 an hour, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And people, and listen, I'm not an economist, but it doesn't take a smart mind to figure out if you. I mean, people barely had enough money to give us a dime raise back in the past. Now we've basically doubled your workforce.
Yeah.
And that's what small businesses are struggling with.
So the restaurant industry, it's food costs, beer, wine, and liquor costs, and labor costs, right? They're literally your three variables you have to control. And if you think about it, over the last 3-4 years, food cost has gone through the roof. Labor costs has gone through the roof. Beer, wine, and liquor costs have gone through the roof. So not only are they going through the roof, but they just fluctuate so much. I mean, literally, I could be paying $50 a pound for jumbo lump crab meat today, and tomorrow it could drop down to $24 a pound. No rhyme or reason.
It's not really fair.
No. And when you set market price, when you set pricing on your menu, it's hard to fluctuate from that. You know, so you have to really figure it out all beforehand because you don't want to reprint your menu. You don't want to put market price on every one of your items, right? So you have to figure out what works. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, when lobster meat goes to $500 a case, it
used to be bad for you. They couldn't give lobster away back in the day.
Yeah, it becomes a big challenge to figure out when you originally put your menu together and it was $260 a case. So, you know, there are things like that. It's true challenges that happen. And when you have the three big things to control your business that you can't control, like you talk about labor, you know, the guy that used to work or the gal that used to work at $13 an hour, $14 an hour, is now $17 an hour. The problem is they're the same person.
Yep.
So they're still doing the same job. They're still in the same position. So it's not like they've expanded who they were and now they can cover multiple shifts and multiple positions.
Do you think that never mind.
That's okay.
Well, I don't want to get into that conversation.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. So, it is a challenge.
And that's why, once again, it goes back to the whole full cycle of why do you stay open year-round? Because when you find really good people that are in great positions, that are treated fairly, that really love being a part of the restaurant, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, and you're... You know, I don't think it sounds like most of your employees are probably hourly, right? I don't know if you can get away with just paying your employees tips.
Yeah, no. So front of house obviously is salary plus tips. Yeah. Back of house is all hourly, and then we do have two managers, a general manager and a kitchen manager that are salaried.
Yeah, because it's just some people get away with it around here, and it's frustrating me. And it's none of my business, and I need to not say anything, but that is it's real. And
yeah.
I'm glad, you know, it's, you know, after it'd be one thing if you had like Green Turtle for a year and you're like, we're not doing very good. Let's change the name. But you did this for 14 years, 14 summers, right? And now you're only seeing blue sky, right? You only have higher expectations for yourself. You want to get out of that franchisee umbrella where because you were saying that you've seen them go through, you know, bargain meals and bargain menus. And you're like, you know, get back to just serving food.
Yeah, franchises are great, right? When you first start up, when you're really not into...
And that's nothing against the Green Turtle.
No, not at all. And they're doing well, and they'll still do well.
Yeah.
There is a place for them, for sure. And in the franchise world, franchises are really good when you get things started, when you're starting a business, because they do give you some guardrails. They give you some training. They give you some foundations that you need to get things going. I think that's the reason why, you know, the rate of restaurants that open up as independent restaurants fail so quickly. Mm. The rate is so high because it's a very challenging world to operate every day. And without some guidelines and without some guidance from people that have done it many, many times before, it's hard to open up by yourself brand new. So with the experience that we have gained over the years through the Green Turtle and through other business operations, some other things we have, you know, it gave us the confidence to go out and open up above the dunes and feel that we would be very successful doing so. And it's been great.
That's awesome.
So
Well, and the other thing is that you can be a little more creative with your menu.
100%.
That's 100%. Awesome.
And that's the thing, like I said before, about allowing the team to create the menu. Right, that didn't exist, you know, with the Green Turtle. It was given to you. Everything was given to you. It was, here's what we're going to do. Here's what you're going to sell. Well, here's what price you're going to sell it at. And so once again, those things are good, but it's better to be able to control your own things, control your own costs, control your own labor, control who's making the menu, what you're going to put on. So
where did you grow up?
I grew up in Bel Air, Maryland.
Okay.
So a little bit outside of Baltimore.
Maryland is an interesting state, especially when it comes to opening business.
Yeah, and taxes.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying Maryland, you know, and you mentioned it, you know, in Delaware, you can basically just try to open a restaurant if you got the rent, right? And you want to sign the lease and you can get it going. You can just
put everything on the line.
Where in Maryland, they're like, hey, we've seen this happen too many times. I was going to open a landscaping business when I lived out in Easton for a while, and you have to take this. It was a big test. Maryland Home Improvement Test, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. But it basically is a test you take for any business that you want to open.
Yeah.
And I failed it.
Yeah.
I couldn't pass the damn thing. This is Maryland saying, you don't need to open a business in this state.
I tell you, Delaware, and even through the pandemic, I personally think Delaware did a pretty good job of handling everything we had to go through.
Sure.
I thought they were fair. I thought they were communicated well. And I think as a whole, Delaware is a great place to have a business.
Yeah.
Rehoboth the same way. I mean, Rehoboth, right, we have our challenges. We deal with some things that we may not agree with all the time. But Rehoboth does an amazing job of keeping Rehoboth what it is, allowing us to grow, allowing it to be a great place to run and operate a business. So it's good to have government entities like that do support you and do want to see you do well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the cool things about Rehoboth, because you almost have like Rehoboth Beach, right? And then you got the suburbs of Rehoboth, which is Rehoboth. And then you have outside
the rest of the suburbs,
right,
of Rehoboth.
We lived in Rehoboth. We have a house in Rehoboth, not in Rehoboth Beach.
Right.
Right. Before or after the drawbridge.
Rehoboth zip code.
The Rehoboth zip code.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things is that when summer does start and people, you know, I think who's gonna drive down there and park? But the reality is there's a huge community that lives in Rehoboth, right? And, you know, I have a client. She's like, you know, when we get to Rehoboth, we don't leave Rehoboth.
Yeah.
They got scooters. They walk. They ride their bikes. They ride scooters. They live, basically, they stay in Rehoboth.
Yes.
And that's one of the cool things. I mean, sort of hoping for that to happen to me one day, you know, to be in Rehoboth. Get up in the morning, get on my scooter, right? Mm-hmm. Ride around town, never leave Rehoboth. Just, that would be ideal.
There's a group of about, probably up to maybe 15 or 20 older gentlemen that appear to be definitely retired and enjoying life.
Yeah.
That sit out right out in front of our restaurant almost every morning in the summer. They're there before I get there. So I generally get into the restaurant about 7 o'clock in the morning. We don't open until 11, but I like to get there a little early, figure things out, go through some stuff. And they're already there just BSing with each other.
Mm.
And it's really neat. And they're obviously locals. They enjoy each other's time. And exactly what you're talking about. It'd be really nice to get to that stage where you can just be in one place, walk to restaurants.
Are you going
to
be out on the bench like Louie?
I'm hoping. I don't know when that will be, but I'm hoping one day I would be able to just walk the boardwalk and sit on the bench and enjoy the beach.
Well, he's just that guy, right? Like I said, we lived in Rehoboth. We lived by the Junction Trail. So I used to ride my bike into town every morning in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved out of Rehoboth, and now we live in Lewis. And so I got a new e-bike. I still, when the summer comes, I get up at 5:30, and I hit the streets, and I ride into Rehoboth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great, the boardwalk is so cool at 6 in the morning.
You're right.
It is freaking awesome. You got a guy driving his bike, dragging things, clearing benches, clearing the water off the benches. You've got Louie out there. Mm-hmm. You've got his little pack of people. It sounds like you got a new crew down by above the dunes. It's just this, it's like the 6 o'clock population, the 6:30 population, right, the 7 a.m. population, the 7:30 population.
Exactly.
It's a riot.
And I think they're probably the same people that are 6 o'clock dinner reservations, 8 o'clock dinner reservations, 9 o'clock dinner reservations, and midnight's a Purple Parrot.
Right.
Right. It's the same people that are in a different cycle of things. Because the Midnight of Purple Parrot tend to come in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. The 6 o'clock dinner reservations tend to hang out at the boardwalk, like you said it. You know, 6 o'clock in the morning walking.
Well, and you have the people that are from like sunrise 5:30, right, till 11 would be there every day. You wouldn't find them for 1 second there in the evening.
No.
Right? Or past 11, after 11, they're out, and they won't be back until they're just morning Rehoboth people.
Yes.
And then you have your midday sort of Rehoboth people, and then you got your evening Rehoboth people.
Yeah.
When I first moved here, man, I was definitely not sober. I was definitely enjoying a lot of the great Dewey Beach, right?
Summer house back in the day.
Summer house. I spent most of my time at the Rudder.
Uh-huh.
It was just a lot of fun back then, but... Mm-hmm. Man, just all the cool restaurants and all the, I mean, just, I remember just being drunk and walking out and swimming in the ocean. I'm like, I love this ocean. It's just fun. That's why we're so busy, right? I think if you've never been here, you drive into this town, you go, this is awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's my wife and I went to the tree lighting this year, and she looked back and says, you know, this really is almost like a Hallmark town at times, you know, because you see these tree lighting things we have. We do the big festival for Halloween, the Sea Witch, and we do these chocolate tours, and we do these gumbo crawls, and we do the Christmas crawls,
Jazz Fest,
and you know, it really is. It's something for everybody. And like I said, I think that's where Rehoboth has really done a nice job of trying to accommodate everybody, but yet trying to keep a rein on who we are and who we've always been. So,
well, my wife watches Hallmark movies the whole month of December, and I crack up.
Same actors.
My name's Mike. I'm here to save the restaurant.
Right. It's the same actors. It's the same thing, right? I came in from New York City to Podunk Town, Idaho, and you know, all of a sudden I met this girl who works in Podunk Town, Idaho, and I'm getting ready to go back to New York.
Her
my
Christmas
real job.
Reef business is about to go under,
yes,
and
but
I'm here
I decide to save it. Right.
Yeah, and her dad's there. Right? This is my dad. Yeah, it's awesome, man.
I love Hallmark.
Well, you got to love Rehoboth. It is. It's a lot of fun. So, how long are you going to do this? Retire here? You know, there's. I guess a kind of an interesting question I'd like to know is, are you tempted by Milton, right? Are you tempted by these other places? Because, you know, ideally, you know, I don't know what your plan is, but a lot of times people would like to have another restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Different sort of wheelhouse, I would imagine, than what you have in Rehoboth. And I'm not suggesting you open a business in Milton, but Milton is really taking off. And a lot of these towns are taking off. I mean, Ellendale, right?
Oh, yeah.
Milford's
everything inland is crazy.
Yeah, it's starting to become a thing. So do you get tempted or, you know?
Yes and no. We had 8 restaurants at one point within our operations. Thank you. Dewey Beer Co. I'm a huge fan of
Who's
Dewey
the owner?
Dewey Beer Co. There's a couple guys there that Mike
and
is
Brandon?
One of them, and Brandon, yeah.
I love Brandon.
Yeah.
Dude is awesome.
I'm a huge supporter of Dewey Beer Co.
I want to get him on the podcast.
I love what they did up in Harbison. They did a little one up here in Harbison, a little offshoot of the one in Dewey, and it's great.
Well, I'm a big runner, so I used to run, and then back in the day, Brandon and his wife, and I forget her name, great gal.
Yeah, they're big runners.
Big runner.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a beast. And but I'd go in there and get my oatmeal with blueberries, and I loved talking to Brandon, and then they did the Dewey Beer Company, so they're moving on and upward. I'd love to get him on the podcast. Great couple.
Great guys.
Yeah.
Great guys. It's a good team, and they do a really nice job. You know, it's another great example of local people really just hitting the ground running and working hard and making something successful.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what's the plan here? We've had a lot of restaurants within our group a few times, but as of today, we just have Above the Dunes here in Rehoboth Beach, and then Bob has another restaurant in Bel Air. Called Humagalas.
Humagalas.
It's a brick oven pizza and custom burgers. So it's a neat little concept there. But it's nice just having one. It's nice concentrating on one. It's nice being able to make those relationships. I tell you, in the offseason, the greatest thing about this offseason was being able to spend time, like you talked, with the locals, getting to know people, seeing people coming in 2 and 3 times a week. You know, people just really enjoying what we're doing and creating that sense of you know, small town feel.
Yeah,
and so that's good. That's, you know,
everybody,
it's a good feeling.
Everybody coming back this year?
I do. I have a ton of the same J1s coming back this year. We have a ton of the college students coming back. I still have my crew, my core group that have been with us, and like I said, that are the ones that truly keep us afloat every day.
Well, how about your neighbors? Everybody coming back this year?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. You know, Thrashers, they've been there forever. They'll be there forever. Core Brothers will be there forever. Like I said, they a lot of them keep expanding, you know. Chris and Anthony keep expanding. I'm really interested to see how they do this summer with that new Tiki Jacks. I think it's – I went in there. They did an amazing job of redoing that place.
Wow.
You wouldn't even recognize that it was a Nicola's. And they did a great job. It's a beautiful location.
Oh, so they're
location.
In the new old Nicola's.
They're in the new old Nicola's. So they're the larger Nicola's of the two.
Yep.
And then I think on the Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Monty and Bethany Blues are going to open up the – what was the – carry out the old Nicola's carry out. So
I know it has a name. The Bethany. It's not Bethany Blues though.
No.
I think it has sorry.
I've heard it before, but I forget what it was.
Good. That makes both of us.
Yeah, no. No, and he'll do great. I mean, he's an amazing business owner and he does
well,
great stuff.
I mean I always say you put out good food, you should do pretty well.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's that off season part is where you really gotta build those relationships.
Yeah.
And work with the community. Well, listen, man. Great chat. Did we miss anything? Do I need to cover anything? Is there anything we didn't talk about that would make your life better?
No. I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to come on here and talk. And,
absolutely, man.
You know, we love getting out and sharing the word about how the restaurant's doing and how the community's doing. And like I said, it's supporting everybody and making sure we all do well.
Well, I love restaurants. I always, you know, every once in a while, I say I want to open a restaurant. My wife's like, "You like doing what you're doing right now, sitting here watching the television?" I go, "Yeah, I do." And she goes, "Well, you can kiss that goodbye."
You know, so, it's funny. People tell me all the time, "Oh, you live at the beach, man. That must be great being on the beach all summer." And I'm like, "I don't go to the beach in the summer."
Yeah.
But what do you mean? I'm at the restaurant working.
Right.
You know, we don't see the beach in the summer. My beach time is September, October.
Well, how do you? That's a good point though. But how do you balance that out? Because you know, you listen. We appreciate you working 9 days a week, right? We appreciate you working 40 hours a day. But at the same point, we appreciate you coming back next year. We appreciate, you know, having a great family, right? How do you can't do too much because, or I should say, I can't do too much because I'll start to, you know, wear away the foundation of other things that are important to me. So how do you find the balance? I mean, you got to find a beach day, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, I have an incredibly supportive wife. Two great kids that are off and grown at this point, but you know it's about finding the right people that when you're not there are running things well, and I'm very fortunate. Jim and Corey have been with us a long time, and they do an amazing job. And they probably run the restaurant better than I do, quite honestly.
Yeah.
At times, but you still feel like you need to be there every day,
sure.
Right? So I try to take off 1 to 2 days a week in the summer, but I'm there. Regardless. So you know, always checking numbers. You're always making phone calls and you're always checking on things. I generally am there every morning, whether I'm off or not. I'll go in the mornings, just get things set up, check on things, make sure everything's running well. Because the other thing in the restaurant world is every day something breaks.
Mm.
I've never seen a business like it, but every day something breaks.
Well, and you're also dealing, there's also like alcohol.
Yes.
Right. And that can be, you know, my uncle owned a bar back in the day. And, you know. If he wasn't there, they were drinking his booze. And
alcohol, money, and food.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they'll drink you right out of house and home.
Yeah.
Not your guys.
No.
His
well,
guys.
You know, hey, you know, once again, it's just one of those things that you say that you got to give people parameters, right? I don't mind us, you know, overpouring maybe a little bit in a shot to a good customer. I don't mind us that we occasionally have rewarding people with a shift drink.
Yeah.
We just have to account for it,
yep.
Right? Because you got to be able to run your numbers. You got to know what's missing, what's not missing.
Right.
And, you know, so once again, if you give some people that kind of latitude to understand they're a part of the business, they're a part of the responsibility, you know, people are still going to take things. People are going to still, you know, borrow things, as I say. But, you know, it's good when they let you know.
Borrow.
It's good to let you know when they're borrowing
things.
Did you
just borrow that? I appreciate that. Well, I worked at Taco Bell when I was a kid, and I learned a lot of life lessons doing that. As simple as a job as that may have seemed, but, you know, I was the guy that, you know, if I would see, you know, this friendship that I somehow built in my mind with somebody that would come buy food, and I'd be like, oh, you know, and hit them with an extra half a teaspoon of meat or something.
Right.
And, you know, but my manager's like, yeah, you know, if you're not here and that guy's here and he doesn't get that same burrito or whatever, he's going to be annoyed.
Absolutely.
And he might not come back. We may lose a client.
Yep.
In this, you trying to be a hotshot.
Right. A nice guy. Yeah. And I tell people all the time, you know, taking a hamburger is no different than working at a bank and taking a $10 bill.
Mm. That's where we're at right now. Hamburgers are $10
now. It's the same thing.
What happened to remember the 29 cent tacos? Oh, God damn, those are good.
There's a lot. Can we say that? It's a podcast, right? It's cable.
Yeah, somebody
it's
will complain. No, somebody will complain about that. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Some of those things are coming back. You know, your 99 cent Happy Meal or
I remember 29 cent tacos.
Yeah.
I mean, they would come out on Sunday. It was 29 cent taco Sunday. That meant at 12:01 on Saturday night, we order about 100 tacos and just feed for the week.
Good Those stuff. Were the days.
Good stuff. All right. Well, do you think, is the town getting back? Are we over the outdoor eating areas? How's that working? Is that still happening? Or are we just never happened?
So they put in some parameters to have outdoor seating and outdoor eating areas, and some of the restaurants are taking advantage of that. Fortunately, like I said, we have an outdoor patio that's part of the restaurant, so we've never been a part of having to do that right now. We did have an outside patio a little bit during the pandemic, but the town has created some parameters, so they're allowing it for some businesses. But I think most people are beyond that.
We're over it.
We've seen a big shift. Once again, fortunately, we have 8-foot doors that all open up. Our restaurant is literally an open-air restaurant. We have 6 doors that open up with a 9-foot gap in our walls, basically. Mm. And so we are a truly open-air restaurant when we want to be. But I think most people are pretty much over that.
Yeah.
Well, which is good, right? Listen, we need to move on.
Yeah, we respect if someone needs to do what they need to do. We respect that.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, brother, I appreciate it. The door's always open for you if you want to come back. You're doing some cool something, new specials, new ideas. Please come chat with me. I love it. So that's Mike Venanzi.
Yeah. And I'll see if I can't say something to Dewey, guys. See if I can't get them in here.
Yeah, I can reach out to him. But you have Above the Dunes, formerly the Green Turtle.
Correct.
So real quick, you got outdoor seating.
Mm-hmm.
Seats
outdoor seating for almost 50 people.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome. And you do take some reservations.
We do take reservations after 4 o'clock during the summer.
After 4 during the summer. Yep. But if you're not going to take the seat, call, at least cancel them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's always helpful. And also just walk in, right? Just because we're taking reservations doesn't mean you can't walk in. So walk-ins only for lunch. Dinner, you're more than welcome to walk in. I'd love to say that I'm going to be sold out every day in the summer, but I don't want to say that. But feel free to walk on in if you don't have a reservation. Yeah.
If somebody wanted to make a reservation and wanted to sit outside, should they be specific or something like that?
So they can request that. We do take requests for outdoor seating. We take requests for oceanfront seating. We take requests for bar high top seating. We can't guarantee any of those things just because the way I explain to people is, can you tell me how long you're going to sit outside and stare at the ocean?
Right.
And the dolphins?
Well, and listen, a lot of people, us being one of them, have chosen to sit outside and regretted it.
Right.
Right. So that's, but if you have something special and you really want to, do, maybe reach out a week ahead.
Right? Absolutely.
Get more time, the better.
Yeah, we do everything we can to accommodate people's needs. And we have a great Facebook page. A great website, AboveTheDunes.com. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. And if you go to AboveTheDunes.com, you can make reservations through our system called Talk. And it gives you the whole ability to make reservations up to a party of 8. If you want a larger party than that, you just got to get in touch with us, info@AboveTheDunes.com. And we'll set things up. Remember us for weddings, large parties, Christmas parties, holiday parties.
Are you on TikTok?
We're not on TikTok.
Come on, man. I want to see Mike's TikTok videos.
No, I don't think. I've got the face and body for radio.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not a Facebook guy. I quite honestly, social media to me is not fun.
It isn't.
Social podcasts are wonderful. Talking to people, interacting with people. But just social media, I think, has become challenging at times.
Well, it's challenging for guys like you and me. Right. My 10-year-old, she can whip up a great TikTok video. I said, I might have to hire you. She's so excited. Right. I'm so not. And but it's unfortunately it's become this part of our game. Right. It's part of it. And it's not like you can't succeed without it, but you almost feel like you're not working hard if you're not doing it as well. So
and in our world, it used to be if God forbid you made a mistake and you brought something out to the table that was wrong or whatever, it used to be that someone would say, hey, listen, this isn't right. Can you help me? And, oh, sure, let me fix it for you. Give us a chance to fix it. And then it became that if they got to the hostess stand, my hostess could catch them and then say something to management. We'd take care of the issue. Nowadays, it's as soon as the plate hits the table, someone's taking a picture, someone's putting it on social media, and someone's telling you how bad you are. Or how good you are, hopefully.
Right.
But it's just so instant now that the ability to make adjustments, the ability to change someone's perspective sometimes is a little harder.
I do think there's a change that's happening to also people looking at that stuff. I'll speak for myself. You know, early on, I'd be like, I can't believe it, right? I can't believe, you know, this restaurant would do this, right? But now it's like, I can't believe this person would post this.
Yes.
Like, I think we all get it, right? Yeah. We all get it, right? You caught them. But listen, we're all doing the best we can. You only start... I remember I badmouthed... Unfortunately, it was the McDonald's on the highway. apologize about that. But because, you know, I think the boys were driving around my neighborhood in blacked out tinted cars going, did you say something bad about McDonald's? But I did, right? And someone... A lot of my friends were like, man, what's your problem? Someone's woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And I'm like, shit. I look like kind of like an idiot.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. So, yeah, I think...
We're all, as I go back to my same point, is we're all humans, right? I've got all employees that are human beings working for me, and we will make a mistake. And all I ever ask, and all most restaurateurs ever ask, is give us an opportunity to fix it, right? Because we're going to fix it. We're going to make it right, right? If there's something wrong, we're gonna make it right for you. But just give us that opportunity to make it right for you. And whether that's a restaurant, a hair salon,
absolutely,
or the local surf shop,
yep,
right? It's better to ask for someone to say, hey, listen, can you help me with this? Can you fix this for me? That's the best way of handling it.
Well, and I always say, if you're local, it's not about this, you know, the sticker, right? It's really about, you know, being there, mm-hmm, riding up the highs and the lows, coming, saying, hey, man, I just, you know, I don't want to post anything. I just want to let you know this burger was a little raw or something.
That's
like
it.
That. And you say, I appreciate it. You know?
Absolutely. Let because me fix it for you.
There's two types of motivation. The motivation to actually help you. And then there's the motivation to kind of perk somebody up and get a little notoriety, right?
Right.
And so you got to figure out what's going on here. But I think as just normal humans, we're recognizing that. When someone posts something like that, you're like, yeah, this is about you, bro.
Absolutely.
This ain't about the burger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, man, thank you.
Pleasure.
Good chat.
Pleasure, absolutely.
You're a good guy. I appreciate it. I'm going to come try your restaurant. So it's above the dunes where the Green Turtle used to be.
Yep, and the Wilmington Avenue and the boardwalk.
Yep, go down to the beach, look right, and you'll probably see the place.
That's it.
Awesome.
Can't miss us.
And real quick, Instagram?
We are, yeah. Above the Dunes.
Above the Dunes.
Yep.
And then your Facebook is Above the Dunes.
Above the Dunes.
All right.
Yep.
Listen. Yep. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.